North Rock Podcast.
All right, I have an awesome message for you today. And why is it awesome? It's because it's from the Word of God. And that makes it awesome. So we are going to jump into it. We have been in a series on freedom. If you've missed any of the weeks, or if you have missed any of the sermons, any of the messages, we have podcasts that are online, northrockchurch.com. You can go and catch up. If you missed last week, you got to go on there and hear it. Sean talked about freedom and worship, and it was amazing. It was really good. He got all fired up and started preaching like a preacher man. And so you'll want to go on there and catch up. It's really good. Because what we're doing is each week is somewhat of a piece of the puzzle. And at the end of this, we put it all together and we see what I believe is a beautiful picture of what a life of freedom looks like, freedom in Christ. So be sure and get caught up. Freedom. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Galatians. And the Bible also says that the Spirit of God lives inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you and I. If you have a relationship with Him, His Spirit lives inside of you. So if where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and the Spirit of God lives inside of you, then that means that inside of you is freedom, that the Spirit is there to lead us into freedom. Jesus said, I came to set the captives free, to release those that are oppressed. That's His desire, is that we live free lives. And so we've been talking these last weeks about what that looks like. What does a life of freedom look like? And to set this up and to show our title for our sermon, let's watch this video.
Okay, then Lauren's going to catch you. Okay, it's called the trust fall. Okay, trust fall. Ready, set, go.
So who do you trust? Who do you trust in this life? Do you trust your sister? We all trust something in this life. I want to share a couple passages that we've looked at the past few weeks. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. It all starts with trust. We begin by trusting, and then we begin, then that trust leads us to dependence on Him, and then that dependence on Him leads us to a life of where we see freedom, where we see He is directing our steps, and we are freely walking in His will. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Don't you love that picture of freedom? And it begins by trusting in the Lord. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. When we hear the words dependence or submission, a lot of times we may not think of freedom. We typically get a picture of being tied down or being held back, forced, or trapped. But I want to talk about a really good kind of dependence, a good kind of submission, a good kind of trust, a dependence or a submission that brings freedom. And in order to do that, I want to show you one more video that's going to help set this up on some of the most free people in this world. Let's watch.
Ain't nothing better than watching you smile. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Ain't nothing better than watching you laugh out loud, my baby. Ain't nothing better than watching you be you. Ain't nothing better than right now. In your eyes lie the secrets I don't wanna miss. Put your hand in my hand and make a fist. Grab my shirt, curl your lip as if you know. Staring back in my eyes, saying please don't go. I don't know what I know, what I know, what I know, what it is that you really, really want or you need. I hate every moment away from you. I see you sleeping in my dreams. I know you're in your mother's arms. Nothing better than
I'm going to ask two very important questions. The first one is, what humans on this planet do you believe are the most free? And I think the answer is children. I think these little guys up here, there's such a freedom. You look at their lives and they're just so free. Nothing's holding them back. They're not worried about stuff. They're not stressed out. I mean, yeah, you know, kids, they have their issues. I have three of them now. But they're free. Second question I want to ask is, what humans on this planet are the most dependent on others? And I think we find the same answer. It's children. They're completely and utterly dependent on us. And I believe that's why Jesus tells us to become more like little children. In fact, Jesus even says, unless you become like little children, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. Because I think that when we're so full of worry, anxiety, fear, all of these other things that the world puts on us, it clouds us to not even be able to see what's going on in the kingdom, what God wants to do, to not even be able to see the freedom and to walk in the freedom that God has for us. I don't believe that we choose whether or not we will be dependent or whether or not we're going to trust, but we do choose who we will be dependent on or what we will be dependent on. We all trust something. We're all dependent on something. We all submit to something in this life. But we have a choice of what that's going to be. We all submit ourselves either to God's way or we submit ourselves to the world's way or to our own way. So there's going to be submission in our lives. You might say, well, I just don't want to submit. Well, you're going to submit. But the choice is there of who you're going to submit to, what you're going to submit to. And one of them produces freedom. And the other one produces bondage. I know this from experience. I've lived both for myself and for the world, and I've lived for God. And I've seen true freedom only come by living from a God who created freedom, from a God who created life. When Jesus said, I came to give life and to give life abundant, do you know what he's saying? He's saying, I came to give you freedom. Came to so that you can live lightly and freely, as his word says. The Bible tells us that you can either be a slave to Christ, which brings life, or you can be a slave to this world, which brings death. We see it in Romans chapter 6, 18. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. You can actually become a slave to doing what is right. There's a big difference between me saying I'm a slave to sin and I'm a slave to love. I'm a slave to righteousness. That you're submitted to it. That's the way we become, that's how someone becomes a slave, is submission. Remember when you were young, and I don't know, maybe still when you're old, and someone would take your arm, twist, put it behind your back, and they'd make you say something like uncle or whatever. Why uncle? I don't know why uncle was the thing they'd want you to say. But I had a cousin, he wasn't a very nice cousin, and he'd twist my arm, he'd take it, put it behind my back, and then he'd make me say that I liked one of the girls in the room. It was no fun, it was embarrassing. But it was submission. I was submitted to him because I didn't want the pain anymore. And that's what happens with this world. The world takes your arm and it pins it behind your back, and it says, here's what you're going to do, and you submit to it. When we submit to something, we become a slave to it. We're either a slave to Christ or we're a slave to this world. Submission to the Holy Spirit in our lives is what we've been talking about during this series. We see in Romans that true freedom comes from being led by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So dependence on God, trusting in Him with all that you are. It's possible to be in a habit of submission to God. It's possible to be a slave to righteousness. And I think for us, it might be hard to believe that because we've been a slave to things of this world, to other things. We've had our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups, and it seems like a lot of times it's so hard to get away from those things. Well, what God is offering us in His Word, what God is inviting us into, is that we can actually be in submission. We can be a slave to goodness, to righteousness, a slave to doing what is right, that we actually have habits that are good. And that's what he wants to lead us into. Let's look again at children. Why are children so free? They're free because they're fully submitted and dependent on us for everything, right? Everything. For food, for care, for clothes, for warmth, for candy. And there's freedom in their dependency, isn't there? I love watching kids, not a care in the world, a lot of times. I have a little four-year-old who, man, she is in her own world a lot of times. And she's a handful. She is a handful for us. We love her to death, but she's a little monster sometimes, in a good way. But we just love watching her because she just lives her life so free, not a care in the world. She doesn't wake up with the same worry and anxiety that we do. And it seems like the older we get, the more we grow up, we get away from that to where we think, well, I have to take matters into my own hand and I have to be dependent on myself. And we lose that childlike faith that God so many times in his word invites us to stay in, that we stay dependent on our Father in heaven, that he is going to take care of us. He shows us a picture in Matthew chapter 6. He says, Does worry add another day to your life? No, it doesn't. In fact, look at the flowers of the field. Aren't they clothed so wonderfully? Aren't they beautiful? I care more for you than I do about those flowers. See the birds in the air, how they get everything they need. They get food. They get taken care of. He says, I care more about you than I do those birds that are flying around. How much more will I care for you than I care for those birds? So you see, we have a Father that wants to care for us, that wants to supply our needs, that wants to take care of us, like these children. And there's such a freedom in that dependency. When we talk about the word freedom, you always have to put in the same sentence the word dependency. Because what you're doing is you're depending on God for your freedom. You're depending on God to lead you into life, to lead you into freedom, to lead you into the life that he has for you. I mean, we all remember when we were kids, right? The way we lived our lives. Now, of course, there's things we have to grow up. You know, my parents told me I needed to get a job when I turned 18. I actually had a job before that. But, you know, when you turn 18 and you graduated from high school, there's responsibility that you have to take. And certainly, I'm not suggesting that you stay a little kid and don't go to school, don't learn. But I'm talking spiritually here, and that's what God is inviting us into, is spiritually that we stay like little kids, that we stay like little kids in our dependence in God and our trust with God, knowing that he is God, that he created us and that he put us on this planet for a reason. He wouldn't have created us if he wasn't going to take care of us. I remember taking trips with my dad when we were living in Chile. I grew up a missionary kid down in Chile, and we would take trips, and I've mentioned some of these trips before to you guys, but specifically one of the trips we took, we went hours on a boat and then 24 hours on a horse, and I had my own horse, and I was riding behind my dad, and I think of this story often because, man, I should have been really scared. We were going through these very dark jungles, and we only had a couple people with us that knew the area, and there was no road, so we'd have to take horses, and we were going to these villages to be with people who'd never heard about Jesus before. So just the thrill of, oh my goodness, we get to go share Jesus with people who've never heard before. This is incredible. And so as we're going through, I mean, I remember some nights vividly I have vivid memories of going through these jungles in the middle of the night. It's pitch black. The only thing I could see was the horse right in front of me, and knowing that my dad was on that horse. And can I tell you, that was enough for me. That's all I needed to be able to trust that I was going to be okay, that I was taken care of. And I knew that in front of him was our guide, the one that was getting us where we were going to go. And you know, when you're a little kid, don't you think of your dad as he can take care of anything? He'll beat up that monster, right? Now, my daughters don't know that that's not true. But as long as they think it, they have trust, right? I mean, I could beat some things up, just not, I just hope Ray doesn't ever, no, I'm just kidding. All right, take it easy on me, man, thank you. But there's just such a sincerity and such a purity in the trust of little kids, and that's what God wants from us. He wants to be our daddy. He wants to be the one that takes care of our needs. Think about it. When you know or when you think you're safe, you'll try just about anything, won't you? And you'll go just about anywhere. I mean, what a way to live, that you just don't care. You know, even going somewhere where you feel like God is directing you to go or leading you to go, and you might die on that trip, but you're like, you know what? If that happens, it was meant to be, and I get to be in eternity with my Father. I mean, just living a life of trust like that. We're all going to die. All of us. Hope that's not a news flash. But we are. Now, that doesn't mean go live recklessly. You've got a family, you have friends that love you and want you to stick around for as long as you can. But living a life where you trust God, you know the biggest way we can trust God is to know that He knows the number of days we're going to be on this earth. He knows. It may be tomorrow. It may be 40 years from now. It may be that they invent something, it's like 100 years from now. I don't know. But God knows. He knows exactly the amount of days that you're going to live on this earth. And trusting in Him in that is such a freeing way to live. Think of the freedom that there is in trusting that He knows, but we don't. Lean not on our own understanding. Depend not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him, and He directs our steps. He directs our path. Listen to what it says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I want to just say this to you. Listen to God speaking to you these words. Trust me. I say that to my kids all the time when you're trying to give them medicine or whatever the case may be. Trust me. Please trust me. I know what I'm doing, God says. Don't depend. There's that word dependence. Don't depend on your own understanding. I think that's the problem, isn't it? We want to understand everything. We do. We want control. In all your ways, acknowledge me. Do we really acknowledge Him in all our ways? Let's just be honest. No, we don't. We don't acknowledge Him in all of our ways. We acknowledge Him in the ways we want to, right? We pick and choose. Don't. I mean, let's be honest. I'm being honest about this too. We pick and stink and choose which ways we're going to acknowledge God. And then we wonder why we are where we're at. In all your ways, acknowledge me, He says. And then the final word there, it's the promise. There's a promise is always there with the obedience. It's always there. It's always coupled together. The promise is, I will show you the right path. And I'm so thankful for that because there's so many decisions in this life. There's so many crossroads in this life. And it's so easy to just live our lives at every crossroads, like, oh, what do I do? I think I should go this way, but if I do, I'm just so worried that this is going to happen. Oh, my goodness. And that's not a way that God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to live our lives in dependence on Him, where we get to those crossroads and we say, you know what? I just sense Holy Spirit that lives inside of me is leading me, and I'm just going to keep on going. He's going to keep on going. Even Jesus lived totally dependent on the Father. John 5:30 says, I can do, this is Jesus speaking here, I can do nothing on my own. I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. So what does a life of total dependency look like? Well, I want to just give you a simple little snapshot of what this looks like. What does a life of total dependency look like? It all starts with a love for God. Jesus said the greatest commandment is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, with everything that you are. Love God with that. Well, how do we do that? How do we love God? Simple as this, you get to know Him. You get to know Him. It's impossible to not fall in love. Am I saying that right? It's impossible to not fall in love with God if you get to know Him. He is such a good God. He knows what He's doing. For thousands of years now, He has been faithful. He knows what He's doing with your life. And when you get to know Him and when you get to know His will for your life, it changes everything. And you become dependent on Him because you see this is a good God. I mean, think about people in your life that you have come to trust and know. When you get to know them, you either know that you can trust them or you know that you can't, right? When you get to know God and you're saying, you've said this a million times, so I'm going to keep saying it a million more because it's the most important thing you can hear today is the desire and the purpose that we have, the passion that we have to get to know God results in a dependence on Him because we know who He is. And we know that He is dependable. And we know that we can depend on him. So getting to know God, and I wanted to share practically, when I first gave my life to God and said, God, I just want to serve you with the rest of my life, I didn't really know how to read the Bible. I didn't know how to get to know him. I was going to church, I was worshiping, I was doing everything I knew to get to know him. I was trying to pray, but I didn't really know how to pray. And so I came across, I think someone gave it to me actually, a gift, and it was a devotional and a book just of daily devotions, the daily readings and prayers from the Bible, and it was called My Utmost for His Highest. And I read this devotional every day for a year. It was a year-long devotional. And at the end of that year, I felt like I really was getting to know God. I really knew who God was through what I'd read over this last year. I think it's a great thing if you don't have a daily devotional, especially if you're not sure exactly how to read the Bible. Find things out there. Talk to me. Talk to some of the leaders around here about how to read the Bible. What are some devotionals that are good? Just off the top of my head, there's some good ones out right now. One of them is called Jesus Calling is a good devotional. These are older ones, but My Utmost for His Highest is a really good one, Oswald Chambers. And then there's one that's older as well called Experiencing God, which is a really good one as well. These are all just ways that we can get to know God. Have you ever had something coming up and you've Googled someone, like to find out more about them? You want to know, like, what am I getting myself into, or what am I going to be a part of? Maybe when you were dating, or if you're dating, or whatever the case may be, what's the purpose? Is to get to know that person, right? And you always get with that person to a place, a certain level of, okay, now I trust this person, or now I don't. And that's why it's so important that we spend time getting to know God. It's not so he'll love us more. That's already there. That's already set. He loves you. Nothing can ever change that. But it's to make us love him more. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray. That's why we pursue him and pursue getting to know him more. So what happens when we get to know him? What happens when we develop a love for him? Well, it results in dependency on God. Again, I believe it's impossible to love God and not be dependent on him and not trust him. It's impossible to know him and not put your trust in him and put your life in his hands. Because when you know he's a good God and he's faithful to you, you want to do that. And then the result of that is obedience in God. Obedience to God. And as we talked about before, freedom comes from obedience. What is obedience? Obedience is simply God's way of us following him so that we might discover his will for our lives, so we might discover freedom, so that we might discover the life abundant that he came to give us. Obedience isn't these set of rules. We talk about this a lot. It's not just these rules so that God can make your life miserable and boring. A lot of times we see it that way. Oh, man, God just doesn't want me to have any fun. Listen, I'm telling you something. I have way more fun now that I serve God than I ever did when I wasn't serving him. In fact, I don't even remember a lot of the fun that I had back when I wasn't serving him, if you know what I mean. And I think you do. There's nothing like the fun of walking in the freedom of God. Free to be yourself. I can be myself. I don't have to put up a front. I don't have to try to be someone else. I can walk in the freedom of God created me exactly who I am. Some people may not like that. Do I care? Yeah, a little. But, but do I ultimately care? No, I don't. Because what I care, Marissa, thank you for the laugh. She's still laughing. Let's take a moment, breathe. I didn't know that was going to be that get that kind of reaction from you, but I love you for it. There's just such a freedom to the relationship that we have with God. And it all starts with getting to know him and getting to know what his plan is for you, what his plan is for this world. God is so good. Let's have the worship band come back up. And as they're getting ready, I want to read a story to finish. Out of this book, I recommended this book a few weeks ago. It's called Classic Christianity by Bob George. Awesome book. It's been around for a while. I think it's a great devotional as well. It's just a great book to just answer some questions. It's Let me just read this to you in case some of you might want to get it. It says, like so many believers, Bob George began his Christian life in love with Jesus only to end up feeling disappointed and empty. Drawing on those struggles and his years of teaching and counseling experience, Bob cut straight to the heart the issues that cause so many believers to start out excited only to end up going through the motions or giving up entirely. The questions dealt with include, I know God loves me, but does he accept me? If I'm a new creation, why do I still struggle with sin? What does it mean to have Christ living in me? And just talks a whole lot about just incredible things. You'll see the way back to life Jesus provided, a life free from the bondage of the law, lived in the newness of his spirit and secure in his love. So it's really helped me over the weeks just in the area of freedom to just gain a new perspective on what it is. So let me read this to you, and then we're going to finish with communion and just continue worshiping God with that. I was really moved by this story when I was reading this, and I thought it would be a great way to finish and share this with you. The greatest example I have witnessed of this truth in action was the story of a young couple named Reed and Marion. Reed was one of several fathers taking a girls' group on a camping trip to Oklahoma. Before leaving their home in Dallas, their 6-year-old daughter, Wendy, came up and asked, Mommy, is it okay if I ride in the other car with my friend? She doesn't have anybody to ride with. Marion said it was fine, and the group set out. It was raining and the streets were slick. Before the group had gotten far, the driver in the car in which Wendy was riding lost control. She tried to bring the vehicle back, but the trailer they were hauling fishtailed. They crashed across the median and into the lane of oncoming traffic. Miraculously, in a chain reaction accident that eventually totaled 26 cars, the most serious injury was a broken arm to one of the girls, that is, except for Wendy. Wendy was thrown out of the car and was instantly killed. Just a few weeks later, I was riding with Reed in a funeral limousine. This time he was a pallbearer to one of his closest friends. Steve, who had died of cancer at the age of 32. Surprisingly, though, Reed was his usual soft-spoken, smiling self, even though his eyes were teary. In spite of everything, he seemed to be doing very well. Reed, I said gently, I suppose you've had enough of this to last you for a while. He smiled and said, that's for sure. Tell me, I asked, how are you holding up? How have you learned to deal with the loss of Wendy? Let me tell you about that, he said. Marion and I look at it this way. What if God had come to us 6 years ago and made us an offer? Reed and Marion, I have a little girl, a daughter of mine named Wendy. Now she's only going to be on earth for 6 years. But I need someone who will love her, look after her, and teach her about me for those 6 years. Then I'm going to take her home to be with me. So I wonder, would you like me to give her to you, realizing that those are the conditions? Marion and I both would have said, oh yes, Lord, give her to us. And that's just what we feel about what God has done. He always knew that Wendy would only be here on this earth for 6 years. We have chosen to be thankful for every one of those 6 years that Wendy enriched our lives. We miss her terribly. We've cried and will cry more tears. But we know that we'll see her again, and we thank God for it all. What an attitude. In the face of great loss, a thankful heart. A thankful heart that has surrendered all rights to a sovereign, loving God. Because of their response of faith, that young couple has lived at peace ever since. A tragedy? Yes. But they have discovered the reality of being dependent on God. So we have the communion servers get that ready for us. I'd just like to lead us in prayer before we take communion. As we take these elements today, you know, Jesus was with his disciples at the Last Supper, and he took the bread and the wine, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And he broke the bread, which represents his body that was broken for us, and he took the wine, which represents the blood that was shed for us as well. And he did it with his disciples, and they shared this together. And I think what happened in that moment, even more than because at the time they didn't exactly know what was going to happen, is they literally began the process of sharing in his suffering with him. And when we take communion, when we take these elements and think about what Jesus did for us, we as well identify and take part in this story, the death and resurrection of Jesus. And it, for us, it's death to ourself and resurrection of the new life, the new man that God says that he gives each one of us. And so as Jesus said, I do nothing on my own, I only do what God tells me to do, may that be our hearts this morning. As we take this communion, we say, you know what, I'm lining up right now. I'm identifying with Jesus in the sense that I want what he had. I want what he did. I don't want to do anything on my own. I want to line up with the will of God for my life. Not my will, but his will. So let's take communion this morning and of course still remember the incredible, incredible sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for us. So God, we give you these next moments of our lives. We pause now to remember the greatest act of love in all of human history, and that's when you gave yourself to each one of us, that you took our punishment for us, God, that you loved us so much that you died, and that on the cross was nailed our sins, our shame, our guilt, our punishment. We thank you for that, God. We also say, God, your will be done, not ours, but yours. As we take of these elements, we align ourselves with Jesus and his mission to do your will. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and take these elements at any point during the song that you'd like to do that. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, don't feel like you need to do this to be a part of this, especially if you don't understand what it's all about. But we'd love to talk to you about that or lead you into a relationship with Jesus. It's so easy and it's the greatest thing you could ever do. So come see us after the service. Let's worship God.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.